Hey guys, thanks for joining me for this fifth episode in season three of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Yeah, it has been a bit, but we do have some special guests on today's episode. They include writer-director Wes Hurley. His movie, Potato Dreams of America, has a special Blu-ray release that's scheduled for next Tuesday, June 21st. We'll visit about that. We'll also visit with our good friend, Meathead Goldwyn. And with Father's Day and Independence Day coming up, we'll talk about steaks, you know, cuts, grilling techniques, searing, and temperatures. Plus, we'll discuss again his new rubs and sauces that are available now. I'll also share, in between those two visits, a little bit about what has taken so long to get back to a new episode. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, and if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, and share with your friends. Got a special limited edition Blu-ray that is coming out next Tuesday, Potato Dreams of America, and it does matter how you say that title as to how it goes as well. We've got writer-director Wes Hurley with us today, and Wes, it's a privilege to visit with you, sir.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Now tell us, Potato Dreams of America, not Potato Dreams of America. So tell us where Potato came from, and this is a lifelong project for you as well.
Yeah, so Potato is a nickname that my mom had for me growing up. So Potato Dreams of America is an autobiographical dark comedy. It's about my growing up in the USSR during the perestroika, the collapse of USSR in the late 80s, early 90s, and then coming over to Seattle with my mom, who became a mail order bride. So it's a funny, crazy, real life story that has a lot of twists and turns, and yeah.
Now you talk about dark comedy, and I screened the film on Friday myself, and it is dark. And how much of that do you equate to your time in Russia and the life that was kind of dark coming up as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, our life in Russia was very dark and very difficult. My mom was working as a doctor in prison. My personal life was really challenging, being there, you know, as a kid, and just general, you know, just the state of affairs back there was really, I think, challenging for everybody, not just my family. So, but the way I wanted to talk, to tell the story is because my mom always, you know, she raised me, she always had this dark sense of humor. So I wanted to sort of convey that in the film. So even though there's a lot of kind of heavy subject matter, I tried to tell that with a lot of laughs and kind of, yeah.
Is it easier for you to watch it on screen, or is it hard for you to watch because of you remember those times so vividly and so personally, if you will?
Yeah, it's neither hard nor easy, I guess, because I've been living with the story for so long. And then, you know, if you're an immigrant, people always ask you what your story is or where you're from. So I've been telling the story for so long, even before I made the film. So you just kind of get desensitized. So like at this point, when I see the film with an audience, it doesn't even, I just see it as any kind of film that I made. It doesn't really feel like my story anymore, even though it's a very, very faithful, I like to say 99%, you know, autobiographical, very faithful to my past. But yeah, you just kind of get, you know, your brain just kind of compartmentalizes it in a way where it just feels like any movie, you know?
Now, Wes, seeing this come out and being available now on the Blu-ray coming up next Tuesday as well, to see this thing go full circle, I mean, you dreamed as a youngster of doing this, and now to kind of have that story of you doing that being out, I mean, how full circle is that, and how do you like to convey that message of hope to other dreamers as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the message of hope is why I wanted to make the film, because, you know, I feel like we're living in this, you know, people always say this is challenging time, whatever. And I, And I wanted to tell my story because I think it's a very hopeful story, because my mom and I, you know, we were inspired by American films to come here, and our story is very much sort of the American dream personified, you know, like it worked out for us pretty great. And I'm really grateful and excited to be here still, you know, even though I've been here like 25 years, but I still, every day I'm like, I'm so happy that I'm here. So, you know, that's the reason that I wanted to tell the story, is sort of to share that hope. And it is surreal because, like you said, you know, I wanted to make this film in a really long time. And to have it out is really crazy. I've been a huge fan of Vinegar Syndrome, which is a boutique physical media label that partnered up with our distributor, Dark Star, to release the Blu-ray. So it's just really insane to have my film on their site, because I've been a collector and a mega fan for so long.
If you could go back and tell Little Potato that, hey, it really does come to fruition, I mean, how excited would younger you feel seeing what you're being able to do today in spite of all of the challenges that you faced?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the case with everybody's life. You know, like they say, youth is wasted on the young. Like, if you knew back then what you know now. I would have loved to go back and tell Little Potato it's going to be okay and you're going to make it. Because I wouldn't know, you know, my mom and I, we had a lot of like hope and faith, but it was still in the back of our mind. It's like we knew that things wouldn't necessarily work out. So it's, I'm so lucky that it has for us. Yeah.
And Wes, in the cast, talk about the cast for this movie and to see the folks that really believed in the project as well. I mean, from Jonathan Bennett, Lea Delaria, I mean, Dan Loria, I mean, with an unbelievable performance in himself as well.
Yeah, the cast, I'm so grateful to our cast. You know, the majority of the film is amazing Seattle actors that I've cast that I worked with before or auditioned. And then we have a few big names like Dan Loria, who came on board. I think he was the first one to sign up for the film. And it was just amazing because he's such an iconic, like, all-American dad. And then he plays this very skewed version of an iconic American dad. In this film. Lea Delaria is incredible as my grandma. She really channels her. Even my mom, who saw the film, you know, later after it was done, she was like, oh, my God, she's just like your grandma. And I won't give away the role that Jonathan Bennett plays, but it's a very fun role for him. And then we have some great other people like Sophia Mitchell-Schloss, who's like on Disney Plus, big shot right now. She has a really nice role in the film. James Grigsani, who's from Twin Peaks. The really iconic Lauren Tweese from The Love Boat has a cameo in the film. So I feel really honored that there's a bunch of this really fun, recognizable performers who wanted to be part of the film.
That's all. Now, Wes, if folks want to find more information about Potato Dreams of America, the Blu-ray, any other information, and also some of the upcoming works that you've got as well, where's the best place for folks to keep up with everything you've got going?
Well, for my personal account on Instagram, Potato Hurley, at Potato Hurley, I guess. And I post everything that's coming up as far as my other work and also Potato. The film is on vinegarsyndrome.com. So anybody can purchase it from there, or also Dark Star is our distributor. They have a link with all the different ways that you can watch the film. So it's also available on DVD. It's available on VOD if you're not into physical media as much as I am.
So how many movies do you have now? If you consider all of your VHS, your Blu-rays and all that, I mean, what kind of a collection? Can you house it in one room?
I've gotten to the point where I have to now store them in boxes. It's a little scary. And I haven't counted them all. Like, my partner would murder me if he actually...
That's awesome. Well, Wes, again, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed the movie. Hope folks will go check it out. Potato Dreams of America. Find it anywhere you find your movies. And Wes, hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Thank you, Cameron. Yes, same here.
Well, it's been almost 4 months since our last episode, the Good Questions with Cameron Dole, season 3, episode 4, and seemed like things were rolling along. But then life happened, and we worked on getting into a new home, and that became a 2-month process. And then the last 2 months have not had, they've had their challenges of their own. So needless to say, not going to use any excuses, had many reasons why I was debating whether or not to even continue podcasting at all, but because of you listeners continuing to listen, continuing to support, we put some new episodes. I've actually got quite a few interviews lined up for the next weeks as well. Did want to tell you, we have moved. Used to live in Altus, now moved up a small community, still in Southwest Oklahoma, Hobart, Oklahoma. Found our dream home, and working from home now, has had a career move as well. Just a lot of life changes, but I think as we change, it also helps us come together, if you will. Did have an unfortunate loss. Lost my father about a month ago as well, and that threw a wrench in everything as well. So unemployed, doing things on our own, and trying to figure things out as we go each day. The one thing we do know, we do have the podcast. We've got the YouTube page as well. You can check that out. Just look me up, Cameron Dole, anywhere. Social media, The Cameron Dole or GQ with Cam is the best way to do any of that. Our next guest, a regular and a good friend of our show, Meathead Goldwyn, back with us. Of course, Barbecue Hall of Famer, has the number one grilling science cookbook to talk about as well. And we've got Father's Day and all kinds of stuff to talk about. But first off, Meathead, it's always good to see you. And it's been too long, my friend.
It's good to be on your new podcast now, too. I'm excited for you. This is going to be great. You have a lot of freedom now, and it's going to be fun to be part of it.
And we always talk each month kind of about something around grilling that has to do with timing. And we're short on time for this one. So it's Father's Day's coming up for us, and 4th of July. And, you mentioned before we came on about steaks for fathers. I like steaks for 4th of July, too. So it's not just for Father's Day.
I like steaks for Tuesday night. And I'm not the only one in my house. My wife is a steak eater, too. Mm-hmm. Good old beef, it's one of the most common question I get is, why can't I cook steak as good as what I get at the great steakhouses? And the answer is you can. The secrets are, is you got to start with a quality product. And that holds true for anything you're cooking, indoors or outdoors, on a camping trip, whatever. You need good quality product. And the top end steakhouses, not your inexpensive cafeteria style steakhouse, but the top end steakhouses serve a grade of beef called USDA Prime. And USDA Prime is beef that's inspected by the USDA, and they look at a section of the ribeye. The ribeye is the rib primal, is this big hunk of meat that runs from the shoulders to the hips. And they take a section of it, and they look at the marbling, how much fat is within the meat. Mm-hmm. And that's a big difference. Fat that's on top of the meat doesn't matter because it can't get into the meat. Meat is 70 to 75% water. Fat is oil. Oil and water don't mix. So fat that's on top of meat has no influence on the flavor. It's the fat that's woven like doily in within the muscle fibers. And that's called marbling, and that's what they look for. And the highest grade of standard American beef is USDA Prime. And that's the stuff that used to all go to restaurants. But now more and more of it is showing up in the better butcher shops and groceries. And if your grocer doesn't carry it, because it can run on the expensive side, they can often order it for you. And this is a tip I have for people all the time. If you're shopping for meat, get to know your grocer, your butcher, you're the guy or the gal at the back of the store. Mm-hmm. They get in early in the morning to meet the trucks. So don't show up at 4 o'clock looking for the head butcher. They're gone by then. show up early in the morning and get to meet them. Say, hey, you know, I'm really into barbecue. And my butcher, just a regular old grocery store, nothing fancy. Oh, I used to have really good top-end neighborhood artisan butchers, and they're all gone. They taught me so much, and they're gone. So I shop at my neighborhood grocery store, but I've gotten to know the butcher. And when they see me poking around the meat section, they'll often come out and say, hey, meathead, we just got in some really good ribeye steaks. Now, they're not prime, but they're top-end choice. Choice is just below prime.
Right.
And these are high-end choice. They're almost as good as prime. You want some? Yes, I do. And, you know, so get to know your butcher. That's more important than knowing a stockbroker. Get to know your butcher. And someday when you're like, you know, you're doing a slab of ribs or something really nice, show up at lunchtime and drop some off. They often have like a picnic table out back, and they sit around and they have lunch. And if you hand them a slab of ribs, they'll never forget you. get friendly with that butcher. But if you can get USDA Prime or high-end choice, and if you're not sure, it should be marked USDA choice or prime. There is a grade called Certified Angus Beef, and Certified Angus Beef, it's a marketing association that the beef growers pay money to join, but by law, all of their product is top-end choice. So, but there's a lot of Angus out there, but it's the CAB, Certified Angus Beef, that is by rule choice. So you want to start with quality product and get yourself some really good choice meat. Now, as to what cut, I'm a ribeye guy, ribeye or strip. They both come from that muscle that runs along the spine from the shoulder to the hip. It's a muscle called the longissimus dorsi, the long back muscle. And they have a lot of marbling and they're just unctuous.
Now, whenever you talk about grilling a cut of steak, is there, I know you hear searing, no searing. Does it depend upon the cut of beef itself?
No, searing is a chemical change. What happens is energy, and that's what heat is. Heat is a form of energy. And there's different kinds of energy when you're grilling. The energy changes the chemistry of the surface of the meat, only the surface, and it turns it brown. It's similar to what happens when you toast a piece of bread or an English muffin,
right,
or coffee beans or cocoa beans. They turn brown, and that chemical reaction alters the proteins and the amino acids and some of the natural reducing sugars in the surface of the meat, and it turns it brown. And that's why, you know, when you have like a roast beef, the end cut tastes different than the center cut, because it's all got this chemical reaction. It's called the Maillard reaction.
Right.
And that's what searing does. It doesn't seal in the juices. I know right now out there, there's people listening and saying, okay, I'm hanging up. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Everybody, dad told me it seals in the juices. Everybody, but butcher told me it seals. It doesn't. I'm sorry to tell you that. We know this for a fact. We can measure it. We can test it. This is the age of food science. And we can test it, and it doesn't do anything to seal in the juices. What it does do is amplifies up the flavors. And you want to sear a steak. You want that brown surface. And you don't want grill marks. Grill marks are seared meat that are just partially covering the surface. They're like little hatch marks. But in between the grill marks, the meat has not been Maillarded. It has not gone through that chemical change. You want it all over. An ideally seared piece of meat is even colored dark mahogany brown seared edge to edge. The grill marks are just covering a small portion. Now, the way to get that is, and again, this is, I know people are just going, God, this guy's breaking all the rules. But we know that, and this is what I do. I'm known as a myth buster. But the way you get a great all-over brown is to flip, 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 flip. What happens when you do that, more of the meat comes in contact with the hot metal and is exposed to the coals or the gas burners. And when you do that, you get more browning. And we also know, by the way, when you flip more often, that it retains more juices. And again, there's reasons for this. But if you think about it, if you've got hot coals or gas flame hitting the underside of the meat, it's drying it out. And when you flip it, the energy that is built up in that surface, it's like a battery. It stores right. It, works its way down towards the center of the meat. Now, if the lid is open, a lot of that energy comes out into the atmosphere. So you want to decide for a thick steak, you want to cook with the lid down so that the energy has a chance to work its way towards the center and cook the meat in the middle. But for a thin steak, you want to cook it with the lid open so that that energy will bleed off and it won't overcook the center. It's basic physics.
Well, I have never cooked with my grill open.
Thin steaks, like let's say you've got a skirt steak or one of my all-time favorite. I just absolutely love flank steak. Now, flank steak is very lean, and it can be very tough. You have to cut it across the grain, not with the grain, across the grain. But it's really beefy. It comes from a portion of the steer, the lower part of the abdomen. It really works hard, and it gets a lot of flavor. But it's only an inch to an inch and a half thick. And you want to cook a flank steak, flipping it often, lit up right over the hot coals. Now, for a thick steak, say a 2-inch thick ribeye or an inch and a half ribeye, you actually want to start that off of the coals or away from the flame. You want to start it on, you're going to set up your grill in two zones, a hot zone, which is where the hot coals are or the flames are, and a not hot zone, which we call the indirect zone. And that's where you start a thick steak. You're going to let it gently warm in convection airflow so that the center has a chance to get up to a good temperature. And then as it approaches doneness, then you move it right over the hot flames, right over the coals, lift the lid, and you sear it at the end. Again, I know you were told to sear at the beginning, but that's wrong. When you sear at the beginning, you get a dark layer, then you get a layer of tan, then you get a layer of pink, and finally it's rosy or medium rare in the center. You get this rainbow effect. But if you sear at the end, it's even colored throughout, and you get the dark seared in exterior only on the surface because you've got the lid up. It's really weird. I talk about this at length on my website, amazingribs.com. I explain it in detail. We could go on for an hour talking about the physics of cooking steaks. But the key here is you cook thin steaks different than you cook thick steaks. And that's the secret. And you cook thick steaks, you start them away from the heat, thin steaks right over the direct heat.
So busting up the myths today. That's what today's episode's all about.
Yeah. Well, that's something, you know, this is 2022. Mm-hmm. And I learned to grill from my dad. And my dad learned from his dad. And his dad learned from his dad. And we got passed this information down from generation to generation. But now in 2022, we're in a technological world. Yeah. We're in a world of science. And we have really good instruments. There's actually a device called the Warner Bratzler machine that can measure how tender a piece of meat is. And it knows, for example, that when the meat is 130 to 135 degrees, which is medium rare, a rosy color, in the center, It is most tender and most juicy. We know that. We can measure that. Now, up until now, we always used to argue, well, when is meat is most tender and juicy? Now we know. We can measure that. We can also check that with a digital thermometer. And boy, if you've stood at the head of the table and put some expensive steaks out there and people cut in and they're all well done and overcooked, and you're embarrassed, there's one way out of that, and that is a good digital thermometer. And I promise you, every time you and I talk, because this has happened for years, and you and I have been talking for years, you know this, I'm going to beg people, go out and buy yourself a digital thermometer. You can get an excellent one for $30, maybe $20. We have an electrical engineer who tests them. He reviews them, rates them. We don't sell them. So you can go to his reviews and ratings, and he links to where to get them. Just get your, it's the most important tool you can have this side of a sharp knife.
That's right. And find that, find their other recipes and the book also, Rubs and Sauces, Meathead.
Yeah, the book Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. You should be able to find it in most bookstores. Mm-hmm. It's definitely on Amazon. It's the number one best-selling barbecue book in the world. And we do have some rubs and sauces that we just introduced in November, and I'm pretty proud of them. There is a red meat rub that really you got some.
Yes, I did.
I said it to you.
Yes.
This is where you step in and say, boy, they are good, aren't they?
They are amazing. I use them every time I use red meat.
Do you? Yeah,
I do.
I tell you, all my life, I have never put anything but salt and pepper on a steak. Mm-hmm. And if you told me you put a rub on it, I would have slapped your wrist. I'm telling you, this rub, my wife won't let me cook a steak without it. Yeah. And I just did. I'm working on my mushroom sauce. Ooh. And working on my new book I'm working on. And I just did a really great mushroom sauce the other night. And I grilled some steaks with this rub. And even with the mushroom sauce, it was fantastic. So there are some rubs and sauces on the website. We don't sell them. We just send you to the web places. You can find them on Amazon. Just search Meathead.
That's right. AmazingRibs.com. Check it out. And Meathead, always good to see you and visit with you, my friend. And look forward to talking again next month, brother.
Always good to talk to you. And good luck with this new project. And or I guess you've been doing podcasts for a long time. But now this is your focal point. So I'm just really proud of you and looking forward to talking to you every month.
I do truly want to say thanks again for joining us on this fifth episode in season 3 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, maybe a question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the socials at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at GQ with Cam. You can also look up Cameron Dole on all the socials and find me that way as well. If you do have a special guest idea, be sure and send me an email. That's gqwithcam@gmail.com. Again, I would like to say thanks so much for the kind words, the texts, the letters, the emails, expressing condolences, and for all of the trials that we've been going through. We're going to make it through, and we'll do it together. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. And also, our good friend Brandon Allen, he came up with this theme music way back when we first started this thing. So, Brandon, I appreciate you showing your support as well. Listen to him play us out. This is Brandon Allen. Look him up anywhere you find your music streaming worldwide as well. We'll talk to you guys real soon. Thanks for tuning in. Good Questions with Cameron Dole.